Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles on iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. It is an absolute pleasure to have you in today. Nick Wright, Peter King, Casey Hayward of the Chargers, Rob Parker, and of course, Joy Taylor is joining me today. Joy, how are you?
I'm great. Good morning.
Good morning. I love this time of the year. We got coaching moves, craziness. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. Okay. So this happens a lot in society. Everybody chases the exception instead of the rule. What do you mean, Colin? 7 of the 8 remaining coaches in the playoffs are 50 or older. And everybody's hiring young guys. It's incredible. By the way, Tampa Bay is sort of the Cleveland Browns of the NFC. It's a graveyard for coaches. 7 of the last 8 years in fourth place. Haven't won a playoff game in 10 years. Haven't been to the playoffs in 10 years. But they actually hired a grown-up yesterday, Bruce Arians. Carson Palmer's best years with Bruce Arians. Peyton Manning, Andrew Luck, Big Ben, work with all of them, got the Super Bowls. Bruce Arians, a grown-up. He's a 66-year-old man, been a coordinator multiple times, head coach now a second time. By the way, the last time the Browns made the playoffs, Bruce Arians was the coordinator. But Cleveland's not interested in him. No. Either's Arizona. Either's Green Bay. No, he's old. So let's look, now that Tampa Bay made the best hire so far, let's actually look at the remaining 3 teams and what they're doing. Oh, it looks like this morning Cleveland's going to hire Freddie Kitchens. He has been a high school coach. Never been a high school head coach. He's never been hired as a coordinator. He's in his 40s. No. He was given the interim job for 8 games this year. Never actually been hired by a team in the NFL to be a coordinator. He is now going to be an NFL head coach. Good luck in your own division facing Mike Tomlin twice a year, John Harbaugh twice a year. Good luck when you face Andy Reid, Frank Reich, who was actually a quarterback and a hell of a coordinator and a great coach. Congratulations, getting the young guy with no experience. By the way, let's look at Arizona. Arizona hired Cliff Kingsbury. By the way, everybody thinks he's the next Sean McVay. Does everybody realize their offenses don't even look alike? Cliff Kingsbury... just a heads up here, against Big 12 teams with winning records, he was 4-31. That's not a misprint. If you take away games against Kansas, the worst program in college football, and you take away FCF schools, he was 16-40 at Texas Tech. Let's give him an NFL job. Good hell. How about Matt LaFleur? Matt LaFleur, been a coordinator for 1 year, and Tennessee's offense got worse. This is from a coach who worked with Matt LaFleur. I got this information last night. This is from a coach who worked with Matt LaFleur. He's smart, very strategic, doesn't have great leadership skills. Excuse me? Doesn't have great leadership skills. Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay, Packers, iconic brand. Okay, I'm done. Cliff Kingsbury got fired by his alma mater. LaFleur had a job for 1 year as a coordinator, not known as a leader. Sort of important. And Cleveland's going to hire a guy who no team in the NFL ever gave an offensive coordinator job to, hiring him. He got inserted as an interim. Tampa Bay went and hired a grown blank man. A man who's been to Super Bowls. A man who has coached Andrew Luck and Peyton Manning and Big Ben and gave Carson Palmer his best coaching. You're all you Clevelands and all you Arizonas and all you Green Bays, you're chasing the exceptions, Sean McVay. He's the exception. The rule is 7 of the 8 coaches who remain in the NFL this weekend are 50 or older. By the way, I thought everybody wanted to coach Baker Mayfield. Well, where's the list of all the candidates? They didn't. Kingsbury wouldn't give him an interview. Mike McCarthy, not interested. Bruce Arians, oh, I want that job really. No. Freddie Kitchens. By the way, he does look a little bit like Mike McCarthy. I'll say that. You couldn't hire Mike McCarthy. You hired a guy that kind of looks like him, so there's that. Okay. All right, let me shift to this. We have a great show today. I'm not going to do much NBA, but this needs to be noted. This was significant. Congratulations to Ryan Saunders. I work with his father, the late, great Flip Saunders. Wonderful man. I worked with him at the other place. He passed away. He was a pleasure to work with and just a sweetheart of a man. His son is Ryan Saunders. He won his first game last night. He's the coach now of the Minnesota Timberwolves, which is really cool. He's a young man, and he won his first game. And so let's just randomly show you the last play of that game against Oklahoma City. They beat OKC. Let's watch it.
Let's go down low. Now in the corner. Off the dribble, the three. Offensive rebound, Adams. Westbrook with four. Off the dribble, three. No good. The follow, George Conning midair. No good. And multiple chances for the Thunder that time. Westbrook with two looks.
Just could not get a ball to fall for him. Unfortunate for the Thunder.
Excuse me. That was Russell Westbrook. Excuse me? So that was an air ball. For our radio listeners who didn't hear the ball hit the rim, it didn't. That second three was an air ball, and he was open. This is why Kevin Durant left OKC. 175 NBA players have shot 90 threes this year. Westbrook is 175th. Since December 1st, James Harden is the leading scorer in the NBA, and Paul George is second. Paul George last night had hit five threes. Paul George is an elite three-point shooter. And he was reduced to catching Russell Westbrook's air ball. Why is Russell Westbrook still shooting threes? Why is he still shooting five a game? He's shooting 23% on the year. And by the way, his five per game are the most of his career. Paul George is a better shooter. Nobody would deny that. He's not getting any looks at the end of games because the Oklahoma City Thunder have enabled and are terrified to say, Russell, stop shooting those. This is why Kevin Durant said, I'm out. This is why they had to move James Harden. You can't play with him. Paul George is an elite catch and shoot player, one of the best in the league. He's 6'8". Generally, 6'8 guys get a good look at the end of games. They're long. He's a great shooter. He was hot. He almost always is since December 1st. Second in the NBA after James Harden, who's also red hot. You would not avoid Russell. If James Harden played, wouldn't you give him the last shot on this team? Why wouldn't you give Paul George? This is what Oklahoma City has done. At one point, think about this. Oklahoma City had James Harden, Westbrook, and Kevin Durant. And their management chose not the MVP Harden, not the second best player in the league, Russell Westbrook. And as the game has evolved into a shooter's league, Oklahoma City is now officially the worst three-point shooting team in the league. And symptomatic of that is last night. Russell Westbrook, they designed plays for Russell Westbrook. And Paul George was reduced to catching his air ball. 10 years in the league, an air ball on an open three. You want to know why KD left? You want to know why there's that video out of KD laughing a couple years ago at Russell Westbrook jacking up threes? This is it. When you are a fear-based organization, and Oklahoma City is petrified that Harden and Kevin Durant now gone, they can't tick off Russell Westbrook, this is what you get. I'm not a hater for pointing out something that is true. 175 NBA players have shot 90 threes or more this year. He's 175th. And yet the organization, knowing that, designed the final two shots last night because they wanted him to be a hero. They did. They wanted him to be the star. This is why I said, Paul George, be careful. Congrats on the extra bank. Congrats on the lettuce. But guys have played with him, and they left, and that's why.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So we got breaking news here. So again, grown-ups. Tampa Bay hired a grown-up, Bruce Arians, an experienced grown-up whose coach Andrew Luck and Big Ben and Peyton Manning and Carson Palmer was best years of his life. It looks like Freddie Kitchens just got named coach of the Cleveland Browns. Never been hired by a team as an interim or as an offensive coordinator. But hey, Cliff Kingsbury, Freddie Kitchens, Matt LaFleur, they're young, they're cheekbones. I mean, it's unbelievable to me. Seven of the eight coaches left are 50 or older, and everybody wants the new offensive guy. It is amazing to me. By the way, Denver's going to hire Vic Fangio and bring back Gary Kubiak as an offensive coordinator. Two grown-ups. I mean, it's incredible to me what is happening. So, and by the way, everybody told me everybody wanted to coach the Cleveland Browns. And I kept pushing back and saying, in my lifetime, the Cleveland Browns have never been the best job opening unless they're the only job opening, and even then I'd pass. You can't tell me Cleveland's the best job opening is this as if who you hired. This guy's never been a high school coach. So I said when Baker Mayfield came out, I said, be very careful. I said, there are two things I said when Baker Mayfield came out during the draft. Now, Joy, you weren't on the show at the time about the draft, but I think you remember me saying these two things. I said two things. He won't be a bust because he's just too darn accurate as a thrower. I said the second thing is he is going to have to overcome Cleveland dysfunction constantly. And he's already had his coach fired, and now this is his head coach. Good luck. And by the way, everybody's like, oh, man, but Freddie Kitchens. Listen, we saw Lamar Jackson win, Tim Tebow win, the Wildcat offense. Things work. Streaks happen in the NFL. You don't hire a coach because, you won 4 to 5 games. Cleveland beat Cincinnati a couple times in Atlanta. They got smoked, by the Chargers. They got whacked by Baltimore, right? I mean, it's like, come on. But this is what I said about Baker Mayfield. Everybody kept telling me Browns was the best job opening. So this is who they hired? The least qualified candidate on the market. Well, I mean, with Baker this year, they were... Greg Williams, by the way, was the head coach. And they gave him nothing. He's gone. I mean, if you're going to hire one of the two, hire Greg Williams. Greg Williams is a man. Greg Williams has won games. Greg Williams has been hired by 7 teams as a coordinator. I mean, this is classic Cleveland. Low self-esteem sports teams. If you just rub their tummy, you tell them they're beautiful, you give them a little 3-game winning streak, they're like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, we got to hire this guy. I don't think he's ever been a high school head coach. It's incredible. All right. So I'm seeing a story today. Tom Brady basically said, I'm not sure if we have sound on it. Tom Brady basically came out yesterday. He does this thing. A Why Sports Matter podcast, and Brady came out and basically said he's got more to accomplish, which is, absurd considering all he's accomplished. We do have the Brady sound. So this is one of the things Tom Brady talked about yesterday on his Why Sports Matter podcast. Here it is.
I still feel there's things to accomplish, and I've had an opportunity based on all the things that have happened in the last 12 years of my life, to put myself in a position to achieve things that no one else has achieved. So I feel like I kind of have to do it. It's f***ing going to be hard to do, but I think I can do it.
Okay, first of all, forget average players. Even legends retire poorly. John Elway is the only legend to ever have a perfect ending. I remember when John Elway retired. It was shocking. He was just winning his second in back-to-back Super Bowls, and he was the MVP. And he could still play. He could still play. John Elway is the only legend ever. Now, Kobe Bryant scored 60 in his last game, but the last couple of years, he was an incredibly inefficient player. Peyton Manning hoisted a trophy last year, but in that year, he'd been replaced by Brock Osweiler. He was a shell of himself. John Elway is the only guy to do it right. He retired like Johnny Carson. Last show's great. Seacrest, I'm out. John Elway was still great. He was a Super Bowl MVP. He was running the league. John Elway controlled the NFL and said, I'm done. Like, that's how you do it. But even in the NBA, Michael Jordan, Wizards, sad. Hakeem Olajuwon, Raptors, bad. Shaq, pathetic, have luggage will travel. It was like 9 teams. So I don't want to see Tom Brady limping at 7-9 with 13 picks in 4 games midseason saying, I'm out. But here's the reason. Tom Brady, there's a narrative out there that it should be really easy for Tom to retire. He's got the net worth, he's got the legacy, and he's got the rings. I think it's incredibly hard for two reasons to retire. Okay. The dysfunction in that division between the Jets, Bills, and Dolphins virtually assures he's going to win the division every year. And Bill Belichick's the best coach ever. It's very difficult to retire as an executive at Apple, at Netflix, at Amazon, at Google. Business is good. You own the world. It is very easy to retire 12 years ago at Blockbuster Video. It's easy to retire when you're losing, you're average, Derek Jeter's numbers go down. But I think it's hard. If I'm 70 years old and I'm on the air and I'm still growing and near the top or at the top of this business, that's hard to retire. To me, that's hard. It's easy to retire if I can't get through shows, if I have no energy, if my ratings are going down 17% a year. That makes it easy. That decision's made for me. You know, I'm not dumb. You hear the hints from bosses. You see the writing on the wall. I think Brady retiring is hard. If Tom Brady was in a division facing Patrick Mahomes twice a year and Philip Rivers twice a year and Derek Carr twice a year and Denver can figure their situation, oh, it's easy to retire. And you're battling to be 7-9. You are in the playoffs every third year. When you have Belichick and you face the Dolphins twice, the Jets twice, and the Bills twice, I think it's incredibly difficult. I think Tom Brady's smart. He doesn't want to limp off. He doesn't want to do it like Peyton Manning. He doesn't want to do it like Derek Jeter or Kobe and have one last great at-bat or game. Tom's not what he used to be, but you can't quit now. You can't leave now. You're leaving wins. You could leave a Super Bowl. I don't think so. You're leaving a Super Bowl on the table. John Elway's the only legend that walked out and could still win another one and was still great and was Super Bowl MVP. That is rare. And so I my gut feeling is Brady stays a year too long. It may be next year or the year after, but I understand why. It's not easy. It's really tough.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Maybe I'm being an ageist and I'm against young people, but I don't think I am. All these young coaches getting jobs in the NFL with virtually no NFL experience as even being a coordinator. And with that, via the Coward Global Satellite Network, Nick Wright joins me. All right, Nick, let's start with this. And again, I'm rooting for all these guys because the NFL's better with fun offenses and progressive offenses. So I'm rooting for all of them. But Cliff Kingsbury was 4-31 against ranked teams in the Big 12. What do you make of his hire?
Man. I understand the argument for it. He was the coach at Houston when Case Keenum broke records. He was the coordinator at A&M when Manziel won the Heisman. He coached Pat Mahomes. He knows Sean McVay. I get all the reasons that you want to hire the guy when Josh Rosen is your future. And maybe it works out. But I have to be honest, what bothers me the most about the Cliff Kingsbury hire is that he was interviewing in the first place. I have no problem with upward mobility. I have no problem with people leaving jobs early. But I do think if you take a job, you should be there more than, I don't know, 30 days. Give it a year. And Colin, you and I have talked about this in my life. There was a moment where I accepted a job. And literally the next morning, unless I hadn't signed anything, I could have easily extricated myself. The next morning, I got a phone call from a different place offering me what I thought was my dream job. And I let them finish their offer. I swallowed hard and I said, I really appreciate it. I wish you'd called me 12 hours ago, but I accepted a job yesterday. And I'm not ashamed to say it. I hung up the phone and I cried because I thought I was walking away from the only job I'd ever wanted. But I had given someone my word. I hadn't gone, interviewed, taken a position, signed, told young people I'm going to come be their coordinator, and 2 weeks later been like, hey, bruh, I turns out, crazy thing, there's NFL openings. I didn't know that was on the calendar. Riddle me that. I don't like how he went about this. Maybe he'll be good, but this rubs me the wrong way. I know that's kind of like an old man yelling at a cloud take, but that's, you, if you take a job, do the job at least temporarily before you look for the next job.
I agree. Baker Mayfield, hottest job. Everybody wants to coach him. Mike McCarthy's got a Super Bowl, resurrected Brett Favre's career, helped create to some degree Aaron Rodgers. Not interested, reportedly not interested. Bruce Arians, I want it. Took Jameis Winston instead. Okay. I'm sorry, Nick, and I'm not trying to be anti-Baker here, but if Baker's all that, Freddie Kitchens is it? He'd never been hired by a team as a coordinator. He was an interim coordinator.
I don't understand why the Browns went with Freddie Kitchens. I do understand why some of the top candidates might not have been interested in the job, absent of Baker. Colin, I have learned this from you. What is the number one thing, or one of the number one things you look at, you've looked at,
management,
when deciding if you want to take, who do you work for? And Jimmy Haslam is not a guy that I think you can trust whether you're going to one of his gas stations or whether you want to coach his football team. Like, Jimmy Haslam, I think we're at 10 combined head coaches and general managers, and I know people love John Dorsey, but John Dorsey is not the boss there. Jimmy Haslam is. And so I think that might have cooled some people who otherwise would be interested in working for Dorsey and working with Baker. To me, I didn't look at this as an indictment on Baker Mayfield. I looked at this as a lot of teams or a lot of coaches saying, man, is this more than a two-year window because of who the owner of the team is.
I like your take. That's good. That's fair. That's a very fair take. My take may have been a little anti-Baker. That's a very fair take. Baker, I apologize.
Thank you. Can I tell you a take of can I tell you a take of yours I didn't like that I just heard a moment ago?
Yeah, please.
Are you entertaining working until you're 70? Because part of my career path involves at some point taking over for you, and I ain't got 25 years to wait, bro. Like, I'm trying to, I love my gig, but I'm trying to get back to L.A. before I die. You're like, maybe I'll Larry King this thing. That we, you and I ain't talked about that.
Okay. You can get me in hysterics here. All right, I got to throw this out. Now, there is a lot of pressure on one team in the NFL this weekend, and it's Kansas City. I love Andy Reid, but there's like a number out there, and did he not win in those playoff games? And Patrick Mahomes is the MVP, and you lived in Kansas City and worked there, and they're not really good at winning playoff games, even at home. Would you acknowledge Indianapolis comes into your former hometown with house money, hottest team in the league? Kansas City is going to be tight. There's more than any of the eight playoff teams, your Chiefs, there is massive pressure to win this game. Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy. I think the most pressure's on the Rams, only because 11 wins last year, home playoff game, one and done. If they then go 13 wins, a bye, home playoff game, one and done. I feel like Matt LaFleur and Cliff Kingsbury were smart to take these jobs now, because if the Rams lose this weekend, knowing Sean McVay, looking like Sean McVay, having Sean as your middle name, maybe is not quite the chip it is otherwise. But to your point about the Chiefs, listen, the Chiefs have lost a home playoff game after a bye where they lose by 3 points and miss three field goals. They've lost a home playoff game after a bye where they can't make the other team punt a single time. They've lost a game to Andrew Luck where they blow a 28-point lead and Luck fumbles the ball and then scores a touchdown on it. They lost a playoff game to the Steelers where the Chiefs scored two touchdowns. The Steelers scored zero touchdowns and they lost. And they lost last year to Marcus Mariota after leading 18 points at the halftime. And Mariota threw the game-winning touchdown pass to himself. All of that's happened in Kansas City. So, yes, the fans will be nervous. And, yes, there is a lot of pressure. Thankfully, the Chiefs have the best player in the league. Thankfully, they have the third highest scoring offense, not in the NFL, but in NFL history. And thankfully, your guy, your godson, Andrew Luck, is playing in the playoffs where he's got a career passer rating of 72, where his touchdown intercept ratio is 11-13, where in the playoffs, outdoors, It's 2 touchdowns to 8 interceptions with a 52 passer rating. So you're right. A lot of pressure on the Chiefs. But it should be noted, Andy Reid, before he had Alex Smith as his quarterback, a winning record in the postseason. Not a history of going one and done the postseason. A lot of pressure on the Chiefs. Luckily, they've got the best offense, one of the best offenses in NFL history, with a quarterback having one of the best seasons in NFL history. I think they're going to be fine.
By the way, how'd you do last weekend with your picks?
Oh, I mean, against the spread, I did well. As far as getting the winners, it was tough. I mean, I feel like this is a bit of a twist of the knife. I think you knew the answer to this question. I got the Colts game right, and then I didn't get anything else right the rest of the weekend.
Joy, how did I do?
I don't know why you got to bring that up.
Colin got all of the picks right.
Colin,
you went 4-0.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, Colin. Okay, so you feel very emboldened. You feel big, powerful, Colin Cowherd. Should we make a little friendly gentleman's wager? I know you've started to go down the gambling path. We don't have to put money on it. Let's just do Colts Chiefs, Colin. If the Colts win, I will, when I take some time off in February, grow an Andrew Luck neck beard and wear it my first day back.
Okay.
If the Chiefs win, you'll let the wonderful people at FS1's hairstylist department give you the Patty Mahomes hairdo for a show. How about that, Colin Cowherd? I wasn't even going to do this, but you want to bring up 4-0 versus 1-3. Put your hair where your mouth is, big man.
Well, actually, I would do this, and there's one problem.
Oh.
The one problem. I like the Chiefs to win. I like the Chiefs to win, too.
The ultimate hedge. I love it. So you get to be right either way. I picked the Chiefs, or I told you, Andrew Luck. Oh, look at this guy. Should have been the MVP. What a coward. I can't believe you, man. Unbelievable.
And I will retire before 70. And you can have the job. Nick Wright, ladies and gentlemen. Great seeing you, buddy.
See you, bro.
Yeah, see
later,
ya.
Man.
What's up? John Middlecoff from the 3 and Out podcast. Brought to you by Colin Cowherd and his podcast network. You like Colin's show? You'll like mine. I'm talking football, and more football. Today, you know I'm talking national championship. Dabo Sweeney, he just became a legend. But isn't he next Alabama coach? Deshaun Watson, Nick Foles, Dak Prescott. Cover everything that happened over Wild Card Weekend. Again, 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff.
You know, I don't always believe stats matter. Kirk Cousins is the greatest example, where he completes 70% of his throws, blah, blah, blah. But in the end, he can't win the big games. And so stats, there are some I look at a lot. What do you average per play offensively? That's what Vegas looks at. That's what I look at. What is your third down conversion rate? Can you make big plays when it matters? 3rd and inches, 4th and inches. But most stats don't tell me much. But there's a couple, the NFL research, and this is a verified account, came out yesterday. This is remarkable. This is absolutely remarkable on Dak Prescott. Since 2016, he has 15 game-winning drives. That is the most in the NFL. He has 13 prime-time quarterback wins. That is the most in the NFL. And 19 rushing touchdowns, most in the NFL by a quarterback. Folks, these are real stats. He is the opposite of Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is great when it doesn't matter. But with a minute and a half to go in a game, and it's on Sunday Night Football, or the Fox Big Game, or Thursday Night Football, or Monday Night Football, Dak's good. You can't deny this stuff. Dak's good.
You could
good.
Say he has the clutch gene.
Okay, the clutch gene. And I've said this before. There are just certain guys. Michael Jordan, he was good hitting a free throw late. Michael Jordan wasn't an 85-90% free throw shooter. Boy, he was good late, though. Michael was good late, though. There are guys that have it. These are real stats. And I said yesterday, Dak is 80% of Troy Aikman. Now, the 20%, Troy had a golden arm. And that's why Troy is a Hall of Famer and Troy won 3 Super Bowls. That's why I don't think Dak's ever going to be a Hall of Famer and win 3 Super Bowls. But Dak has something that I think is wildly undervalued. Maturity, emotional discipline, even temperament, low emotions, steady personality. Opposite of Baker, who drives me crazy. Opposite of Cam Newton, who drives me crazy. Opposite of often Jameis Winston, who drives me crazy. Opposite of Jay Cutler, who drove me crazy. Steady, calm, unemotional, no anxiety, good body language, better late in games, bigger the game, the bigger the player. You cannot deny these numbers for all you Cowboy haters out there. These are real numbers. 15 game-winning drives. That means he got the ball and his team trailed late. 13 primetime wins. That means the network said, Cowboys against good teams. They don't put the Cowboys against the Jags on. Cowboys against the Eagles. We're going to put the Cowboys against the Packers. We're going to put the Cowboys against the Saints. Primetime games means the networks. You don't see the Jags on primetime, even against the Cowboys. Primetime is network saying, we want the Steelers. We want the Patriots. We want Kansas City. We want Dallas. We want Green Bay. Those are numbers. You can't. This is why I say quarterback is not the best arms in NFL history that I've ever seen. Let's go last 20 years. The best arms I've seen in the NFL last 20 years. Cam, Jay Cutler, Matt Stafford, Jamarcus Russell, and Brett Favre. One is a winner, and even Brett Favre, I would argue, underachieved. Considering his talent, Brett Favre should have won more. Brett Favre is one of the great natural talents of all time. But a lot of those guys that had great arms did not have emotional discipline.
Well, that's why I think intangibles matter. Like, we talk about it, you know, kind of frivolously, like, oh, you know, he has good body language and he's, you know, great at the podium. But all of that steadiness is important when you're in a leadership position.
Of course.
You can't be too high and too low.
Have you, like I've had, I've worked at five or six companies, and the one common denominator, I'm not going to mention their names, I'm not going to embarrass people or just put people out there, but I've had two or three bosses who I thought were next level. And the one thing they shared, they weren't prep school. They didn't go to Harvard. They didn't go to Yale. They didn't go to Princeton. In fact, they went to very popular state schools, both of them. They didn't come from money. They didn't come from privilege. They took weird routes. One of them went to Europe first and came here. One started in a mailroom and worked up. But the one thing both of them had, two or three of them had, in big moments, they were take a breath. They were, let's see macro. Let's get the big picture. Let's not fall for the moment. Let's step back. Let's add a little calm. They weren't fist pumpers. They're not grabbing. They're not doing nonsense on the sideline. They are, okay, world's caving in a little bit here. Let's take a deep breath. Let's step back. They were a calming influence, and Dak has that, and those numbers are crazy.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Peter King, NBCSports.com. All right, let's start. I'm going to go through. Let's start with Cliff Kingsbury took the USC job, and then about a month later, he goes to an NFL job, which is obviously better than being a coordinator in college. What do you make of the hire? What do you make of Kingsbury?
Well, Kingsbury really must have convinced Steve Keim, Michael Bidwill, that in fixing Josh Rosen and in preparing Josh Rosen with one of the best offensive minds in all of football, that was going to be worth, basically giving your whole team to. You know, the big knock on Kingsbury at Texas Tech was that he was fairly myopic on the offense and wasn't a great recruiter or,
yep,
a great defensive guy in any way. So I think the Cardinals have to be convinced now that they're going to get Kingsbury an above-average defensive staff and just let Kingsbury handle the offense.
Did you like what he did leaving USC?
No, I didn't like it at all. I'm just not a fan. He came there in the middle of their recruiting season. They had, 2 weeks left of the recruiting season. And then, who knows if any kid ended up going to USC because of him. But then he walks out. I don't like it very much. I try not to be on my moral high horse too much, but it just didn't seem right to me.
We got a trend going on. If you had a beer in the last 3 years with Sean McVay or a picture taken with him, you're going to get an NFL job. it's ridiculous. I think we're overreacting. I love what Tampa did with Bruce Arians. I think we're overreacting, Peter. I think it's become ridiculous now. Freddie Kitchens, good Lord, he'd never been hired by anybody as a coordinator 8 games. I understand they want somebody that Baker likes. I get it. I totally get it. But, Peter, is it possible here We're just overreacting, trying to find the next guy that knows Sean McVay.
Well, I think we might be overreacting to the offensive side of the ball, because now it looks like there's a very good chance that 7 of the 8 hires could be offensive guys.
Wow.
You know, now, because, I mean, who knows? There's a couple of hires left. And you know, it sounds like the Jets, you know, are going to hire Mike McCarthy or Adam Gase. So it's amazing that we have gone so far. And yet, Colin, on the first playoff weekend, what happened? There were all these defensive games.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's almost like, okay, you know, Wink Martindale can't get a sniff in Baltimore, and he probably has the best defense in football at the end of this year. It's just a funny time in football, because I think everybody has become convinced that you got to score to turn on your fans and have a great team. And we'll see if they're right. But hey, look, Freddie Kitchens, I got to know him a little bit late in the year, Colin. And I'll tell you, I think in his own way, I think he's got a chance to be an excellent head coach. He's a gruff guy. He's very much a collector of ideas from his team. And 2 or 3 plays that he called this year, the thing that convinced me that Freddie Kitchens knows what he's doing is when the Cleveland Browns played Carolina.
Yeah.
Get this. They ran a play with Breshad Perryman going left across the formation and then sprinting back right pre-snap and getting a fake jet sweep handoff from Baker Mayfield. Then Baker Mayfield turns the other way. Jarvis Landry follows him, and he hands it off to Jarvis Landry. You can barely see it happen. And there's Luke Kuechly just standing there. I never see Luke Kuechly fooled. And on that play he was, and it was a touchdown for Cleveland. And again, look, this can't all be about smoke and mirrors and misdirection. But I'll just say this. In 8 weeks, you know, on the fly, Freddie Kitchens did an unbelievable job, not just with Baker Mayfield, but with an entire offense that had been mediocre, and they were very hard to stop late in the year. We'll see what happens.
Okay, I want to talk about some of these games, because I think they're fascinating this weekend. I think there's massive pressure on the Kansas City Chiefs. Between their history and Andy Reid's, they're a favorite. They have the MVP. Right. So let's talk about Colts-Chiefs. I think the Colts walk in knowing with the 9 draft picks and $100 million, they're really built for next year and the next 8. I think the pressure's all on Kansas City. What do you think transpires there at Arrowhead?
I think it's really interesting that you mentioned that, because to me, the Colts are playing with house money. They can be as relaxed as any team heading into this weekend. You know, Frank Reich at the end of the game last week, at the end of the regular season, holds up a paper with the number 32. Like, in early October, they were rated the 32nd best team in football. And now here they are on a 10-1 run. And I totally agree with you, but I'll just say this. This isn't Alex Smith's Chiefs anymore.
Right.
This is Patrick Mahomes' Chiefs. And he just is, hey, what me worry? I spent about 45 minutes with him last Friday for a piece with NBC this week for our pregame show. And I'm just telling you, Colin, this guy just, you know, it's one of those, he doesn't know what he doesn't know.
Right.
And he doesn't get all hot and bothered about anything. And I think, hey, look, I absolutely think the Colts could win this game, but especially if the Chiefs have Sammy Watkins back, okay? And they could have Sammy Watkins one side of the field, Tyreek Hill on the other side of the field, 2-4-3-5 guys, speed guys, you know, separating the defensive backfield and really opening up the middle of the field. I don't know. I think if Watkins plays and is effective, I think they got too many weapons for almost any team to defend.
Yep,
now.
I have the Saints and the Chiefs. I think should be probably Super Bowl favorites. Okay, Cowboys Rams. Similarly, there's no pressure on the Cowboys. Okay, they're underdogs. They won their game. The owner loves the coach, has endorsed the quarterback and the coach. They've got the better defense. It'll be a neutral field at worst. I think they have the better roster of young, talented people. I mean, again, it feels like the pressure is on the Rams this weekend.
It does to me. I mean, this is, come on, Sean McVay.
I agree. Yeah, Colin, yeah. I agree, because last year they were favored, obviously, and lost to the six-seeded Falcons, you know, in the first playoff game at home. And they've got to show that they're better than they were last year, and that this blip late in the season, you know, is not who they are, because they didn't play great in the last month, particularly offensively. They had their moments, but consistently they were not great on offense. So to me, I think this is a bad matchup for the Rams, because when I watch Ezekiel Elliott, I wrote in my column this week, I think Ezekiel Elliott could play in any era of football. I think that he's sort of a poor man's Jim Brown. And I'm not saying he's ever going to be Jim Brown, but I'm saying that he reminds me of him because he's physical, he's fast, and he's very smart. Those were three traits that Jim Brown had that put him ahead of his time in the late 50s.
Okay, and finally, nobody has given the Eagles a chance. And I picked the Eagles last week, and I think I like them this week, and I know it's zany. But you talked to Golden Tate this past week. There is something about Foles and this staff. Now, my theory on this, Peter, is he has to be more patient in the pocket, and he is a little more coachable. Whereas the Aaron Rodgers and the Wentz and the Cam, there's a burden of being really, truly gifted. Nick's not. He's just good. He's very easy to coach. He spreads the ball around. He is more patient with the play calling. I like Wentz, the player, over Foles, but you talk to Golden Tate. Philadelphia's got something going on with Nick Foles, and I finally buy it. What do you make of their chances?
I mean, it's crazy to say that 6 weeks ago they lost by 41 in New Orleans, and now they're going back to New Orleans. And you say, well, how can this work? How can they really have a chance? And, you know, to me, Fletcher Cox put this well to me maybe 2-3 weeks ago. I said, what happened? Why has that game been the line of demarcation on your season? And he said, we got back, we met as a veterans committee with Doug Peterson, and we all agreed, flush that game, eliminate it. It doesn't matter. We're not going to focus on it. We're not going to obsess on it. We're not going to say, look at all the things we did wrong. We're just going to start all over again right now. And that's what they've done. Add to that the fact that they get Foles, who's Cool Hand Nick, and who basically is, he doesn't get riled up. As he's told me, I play with a quiet mind. The day of a game, what does he do? Does he study film? Does he do this? No. He journals about how to be a better father. I mean, I'm just telling you, this is a different human being than a lot of the quarterbacks that we've known. He tries to enter a game with classical music playing in his head, Colin. That is Nick Foles. And the reason I think they have a chance, like I probably wouldn't pick them in this game, but the reason I think they have a chance is they're a different team with Nick Foles there, and you know, they're a different team entirely in the postseason, because they are not going to let that Drew Brees offense breathe the way it did in November.
Yep, totally agree. Peter King, NBCSports.com. It's great talking to you. This time of the year is so much fun. Go break some
Thanks, Colin.
Go break some more stories, Peter. Thank you.